Horse, the other horse when chose was an oversized, but this is an important part because we're trying to close the budget process after vote 2 and 1 tomorrow. So that is the importance of this report. Hopefully, it's a very thick report. it's so thick with various details, I guess. So, hopefully, it will also assist the other members in adopting or not adopting certain budget codes. I'm informed that we are not going to adopt it today because the worry is the quorum. I know Honorable Mashiko has got a funeral, but I hope that tomorrow or Thursday she will be here. Now, they are buried tomorrow. So, I think that, as we normally do, Honorable Members, you know, our meeting, because we meet every day, maybe we'll take the same approach that we normally take. Just read through quickly the report, Honorable Sir. I can see your disapproval. However, I'm not sure when this report was sent to members. So we do that, Honorable Members. The challenge that we have is that we have only up to 1 o'clock. This afternoon is a debate. Tomorrow afternoon is a debate. So we don't have the whole day. It means that we need to find a way of being a pretty fast. And I think that let's deal primarily with the, especially with the introduction, and especially with the what Treasury a report that Treasury brought to us, and then with the fiscal commission, the public service will be here as well, public service commission. But I think that maybe for the department, maybe we could jump to the observations and findings from there. I don't know, that approach that I'm having. But that, of course, will assume that we still have a right to comment on any other thing that is in the report. There is also communication, and I'm sure members might want to comment on that. But that is the approach that I'm suggesting on our members. Okay, if we agree, then shall we just go to paragraph 1 and those areas? Mr. Maswell, you're going to help us.
Section 1, Section 1, Introduction. Section 27(1) of the Public Finance Management Act, number 29 of 1999 PFMA, requires that the Minister of Finance table the annual budget for a financial year in the National Assembly before the start of the financial year or in exceptional circumstances on a date as soon as possible after the start of the financial year, as the Minister may determine. Section 26 of the PFMA requires Parliament and each provincial legislature to appropriate money for each financial year for the requirement of the state and the province respectively. In executing this mandate, the Standing Committee on Appropriations herein, after referred to as a committee, was established in terms of Section 43 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, No. 9 of 2009, and then after referred to as the Act, in line with Section 10, Subsection 1A of the Act, and after adoption of the fiscal framework, the Standing Committee on Appropriations had a responsibility to consider the appropriation bill, yea, after referred to as the bill, and report thereon to the National Assembly. Number subsections 10, 5, and 10(6) of the Act, parliamentary committees may advise the Appropriations Committee on the appropriated funding. No formal submissions were received from committees in terms of subsections 10, 5, and 10(6) of the Act. The bill was referred to the committee on the 13th March 2013 for consideration and reporting. The budget for the 2013-14 financial year was tabled by the Minister of Finance in the National Assembly with the Appropriation Bill on 27 February 2013. The bill was tabled together with the Division of Revenue Bill, Estimates of National Expenditure, Budget Review and the Budget Speech. Given the fact that the Committee on Finance and Appropriations have different mandates derived from the Act, the Appropriation Bill was therefore referred to the Standing Committee on Appropriations. In the process of dealing with the Appropriation Bill, Section 97A of the Act requires the Committee on Appropriations of both Houses to consult with the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Section 8A and B of the Act requires the Committees on Appropriations to hold public hearings on Appropriation Bill and proposed amendments, and for the Committee on Appropriations to report to the House on the comments on and amendments to comments on and amendments to the Appropriation Bill. In addition, advertisement was published in national and community newspapers from 22 to 28 April 2013, inviting the general public inputs, and one submission was received from Earth Life Africa. The stakeholders were invited by the committee and that made submissions to the committee were as follows: Financial and Fiscal Commission, Public Service Commission. In addition to the National Treasury, which briefed Committee on Appropriation Bill in its entirety, the following departments were invited for hearings on their respective budget allocations: Department of Public Works, Communications, Water Affairs, Rural Development and Land Reform, Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs.
Thank you.
Honourable members, Honourable members, there you are. That is the introduction, the real introduction. I don't know if there are any comments. Honourable Dr. Fundy, good morning. Are we happy with the introduction? Honourable Matha?
We are happy, but I thought the input should always be a comment, a public comment, in the last paragraph that deals with the, on the first page where you just read the headline. You've got something that says general public input. I thought it should be a comment in terms of the budget, reference to the budget there.
Section 2, Context and Overview of the 2013 Appropriation Bill. The 2013 budget was tabled within the framework of the National Development Plan. The National Development Plan contains proposals on integrated strategy for accelerating growth, eliminating poverty, and reducing inequality. The 2013 budget appropriation provides for spending that supports improvements in service delivery, expansions in infrastructure investment, economic support and development, job creation, and enhancements in local government capacity. In order to create a fiscal space to fund investment in these key areas, government at all levels has contributed to making funds available through reprioritization. This entails all provincial national departments and public entities being asked to identify areas where inefficiencies exist and effecting budget reprioritization in lower priority programs. The 2013 budget framework makes available a funding allocation of 107.2 billion over the medium term. The 107.2 billion funding made available comprises of 51.2 billion which has been identified for reprioritization through expenditure reductions, 37.2 billion has been made available for to compensate primarily for inflationary effects, and 27.9 billion is the drawdown from the contingency reserve. The 2013 budget framework provides for average annual growth in consolidated government spending of 2.3% over the entire period. The consolidated government expenditure is budgeted to increase by 8.1% a year from 1.1 trillion in 2012-13 to 1.3 trillion in 2015-16. The table below shows trends in the economic classification of payments for consolidated government expenditure for the period 9-10 to 15-16. The table consolidated expenditure by economic classification, and then the table shows per each economic classification the percentage thereof. In 13-14 financial year, composition of employees constituted 35.3% of consolidated government expenditure, followed by transfers and subsidies at 32.7%, and goods and services at 15.3%. Payments for capital assets and payments for financial assets were 6.8% and 0.3% respectively. During the period 9-10-12-13, transfers and subsidies as a share of consolidated expenditure have increased from 32% to 32.8%. Transfers and subsidies are projected to increase marginally from 32.7% in 13-14 to 32.8% in 15-16. The large of expenditure allocated transfers and subsidies represents government's significant contribution to poverty reduction and social development. More than half of all South African households benefit from social assistance. In particular, average annual growth in the number of recipients is projected to moderate in the medium term to 17.1 million recipients in 15-16. The share of composition of employees of government consolidated expenditure has increased from 33.3% in 19, 35.3% in 13-14. The rapid growth in composition of employees in the past 5 years has been driven largely by increases in government employment, salary increases, and several occupation-specific dispensations. The budget share of composition of employees is projected to moderate in the medium term and reach 34.5% in 15-16. The share of goods and services remains stable at an average percentage of 15.3% in the medium term. Payments for capital assets and payments for financial assets maintain an average percentage share of consolidated government expenditure of 6.9% and 0.3% respectively in the medium term. The management of the public sector wage bill is critical. I should continue until section F. Okay. The wage bill is critical in ensuring a balance and policy priority focused government expenditure framework. The 2013 budget review states that the failure of major infrastructure projects in progress or under consideration in the general government totals 3.6 trillion. It is envisaged that the NDP will guide decisions on the implementation of proposed projects. The table below shows public sector infrastructure delivery for the period 11-12 to 15-16. Okay, total investment in infrastructure by the public sector has shown steady growth over the years, increasing from 208 in 11-12 to 262.8 in 13-14. Moreover, the public sector's investment in infrastructure is projected to amount to 8271.1 billion over the 2013 MTEF. A significant share of the funding allocation for infrastructure investment within general government will be rolled out by provincial departments and local government. Infrastructure projects that address social needs not resulting in revenue streams will be financed by the fiscus and undertaken by national, provincial, and local government. While many infrastructure projects are characterized by poor planning, lack of project management capacity, and inadequate oversight, the strengthening of regulations and planning requirements should lead to improvements in infrastructure delivery.
Thank you. Any comments, honorable members?
just on page 2, is this really the, I'm sure this is, there's a computer who wrote expenditures in 2 rows. If you can correct that. And then over the page, on page 4, on the last paragraph, will it not read better if we just simply start the second sentence with the public sector investment infrastructure projected rather than to say moreover? Just say what it is itself.
Well, that's not a matter of moreover. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that this, moreover, wants to link this sentence with the
I'm just having a conversation with my colleague across the country.
Now, I think Honorable from Nafagana has made intervention there, but I was just going to check if Honorable Matagana, I think that this moreover is trying to link the second sentence to the first one. Now, if we omit the moreover, the public sector investment infrastructure is projected to amount. The third sentence says total what you call the infrastructure by public sector. So, I think the second one is trying to link the second line to the first one. I don't know if moreover might not be the right word, but I think that's right, because if you take it moreover out, you lose out the other meaning of the sentence. It gives some kind of confusion, you know, of what the first sentence is saying.
This is
the second sentence.
No, sir. You can leave. I mean, it's not a matter of left and left, but the second first sentence has a figure of 208. It speaks to the 11-12 and the figure 11-12-13, and the second one then speaks about This figure, which is an overall figure more than the figure that you have mentioned, is 208. This one talks about 807, 27 billion mm-hmm. over a period of 3 years. It is it has something to do with the first one, but it doesn't have to be linked to make the same point. But I mean, I'm going to go about it. I can live with it like that if you insist, but I thought it was making the, it's in the same issue. The issue is the same. That must it be linked?
Okay, I think that Dr. Van Dijk wants to help. Do you want to help with this or something?
Chairperson, I think maybe it will help. The figures in the table itself, table 2. At the MTF total doesn't count up to the amount there. In the middle, that 429,832, that is general government, on the right hand side, MTF total in the middle. Mm-hmm. That 429, according to my calculation, should be 461,431. And the total at the bottom, the 827,078, should be 858,677, if my calculation is correct.
Okay, let's just, I think what Honorable Van Dijk is saying, that let us clean up this, I'm sure the research unit will also help if these figures were captured correctly. there might be a mistake else. But what it means, if the captured correctly, we might have to go to a treasury to say, look, somewhere the figures don't refer what to call a tally. Okay, but that was another point. It's fine, then we will clean up the what you call it, the gamma then in order to use it. Does someone want to comment on this moreover, not moreover? Or we pass? Let's let it. We'll come back to it. Maybe once people make us a sense of it.
Maybe I can drop that issue, then we proceed in the interest of time. The column one of outcome of that the table below, the table two, 208 communicate a particular message, right?
Mm-hmm.
That column. Is the column that's standing on the window. The column that the end right column of the MTF 3-year cycle is a column that speaks to a global of investment in the public sector over a period of 3 years.
Yes.
It communicates a matter standing on its own.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be linked, the two of them, in order for them for you to read them. And when I look, because this sentence, this paragraph here, the narratives, explain the table.
I don't think I understood you. My understanding is that there should be a relationship between this. To say, table 2 says the annum. This is how this the expenditure will look like, which means that over 3 years it would have been this amount, this 0827. All of this plus the total that 827. There should be a relationship. So. Okay.
Thanks, honorable members. Thanks, Chair. Chair, the way he's explaining it is correct. The linkage is that we are saying that there has been growth in public sector infrastructure since 11-12 up until 13-14. Moreover, there is still growth projected in public sector infrastructure, and the total thereof is this much. Right.
Now, I think that the issue may be that we said earlier that we could look at these figures. Honorable Dr. Pandek was saying, these figures don't seem to have. Maybe somebody could add, if they don't, we invite the consultant, because that is taken from our page. Yeah, it's just what you call if there's a mistake, we're not saying that the total is right or wrong. But if there's a mistake, when you add up the numbers, then we'll read it with national charter. It will be important before we act up the report. Spar, you're raising your hand up? Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Macarena. Honorable. Okay, the issue just for me is not a very important one there. The table one. I mean, these tables are always in black and white, but I think that table one would make a better sense if it was in color, so that people can be able to pick up the difference between, for instance, goods and services and payments for financial assets. and payment for color. The colors are almost, what you call it, the same if it is in black and white. I don't think that it will cost us millions of if we just the main report. Other reports will be in black and white, but the main committee report that will go to ATC if it is in color, and if members forget the final report in color. Is do you want comments? You want help?
Maybe this black and white, it should be clearer. The thing is, if it's in color, yeah, once it goes to the ATC, it appears in black and white. And then when it does that, it looks the same completely now. So the color would only be for us here. Maybe what I should do is try to make this black and white, it a clearer black and white. Once it's in the ATC, it will be in black and white, nevertheless. I don't know if it makes sense.
Well, all I'm saying is that we don't do the ATC ourselves. We hand over a report. No? It's for them to do. If they photocopy it, we don't want to contest that. It's their business. So, thank you. I think we're done with 2.2. 2.3.
It's 2.2. Overview of the 13-14 appropriation bill. National budget baseline additions amount to 52.6 billion over the 2013 NTEF period. In particular, 8.9 billion allocated for the 13-14 financial year, 11.6 in 14-15, and 32.1 in 15-16. National departments will receive 2.6 billion for composition of employees to cover the cost of the improved conditions of service. The 2013-14 national baseline additions strive to give effect to government's key policy priorities, which include investment in infrastructure, social services, and job creation. And then the table above is for the appropriation per vote.
Okay.
The table above shows allocations per vote as per the 2013 appropriation bill. The main appropriation for national departments excludes direct charges against the National Revenue Fund increases from 546.4 billion in 2012-13 to 588.7 in 2013-14. The national votes receiving the largest allocations for the 2013-14 financial year are social development, police, cooperative governance and traditional affairs, transport, defense and military veterans, and higher education and training. Other votes receiving significant funding for 13-14 include basic education, health, human settlements, national treasury, and correctional services. Table 4 gives economic classification for the 13-14 main appropriation. The table above shows 2013 appropriation bill classified per economic classification. In 13-14, current payments are allocated 168.9 billion or 29% of the total main appropriation. The allocation for current payments is comprised of composition of employees, which is allocated 111.9 billion or 19%. Goods and services, which is allocated 56.9 billion, and other, which is allocated 0.08 billion or 0.01%. The largest allocation for the 13-14 appropriation is for transfers and subsidies. A significant share of national transfers and subsidies include transfers to households and conditional grants. Capital payments is allocated 14.2 billion or 2%, and payments of financial assets is allocated 2.9 billion or 0.5% in the 13-14 appropriation for national government.
I don't know if someone we have added that this The main, on page 5, the main appropriation for departments by the second sentence, in paragraph, excludes direct charges against the national revenue. Increases from that amount to this amount, you know. I don't know if it wouldn't be appropriate for us to include just a few words that says that's so much percentage, what you call it, increase. Would it make sense?
As soon as you ask no question.
Okay, let me put it the other way. I'm suggesting that we do that. I hope that we can make a big difference.
So you want the figures to be separated by percentage?
No, what I'm saying is that to say this growth amounts to this much percentage. I know.
Isn't it that will it deal with the consistency of the report? Mm-hmm. Given that most of the area, there is upwards or downwards. What we had to do that right through the report where we're saying that. Well, I thought that the figures, higher figure or lower figure in the words would explain it rather than to tie yourself into a percentage, explaining percentage, which is our way.
I think the other one is
I don't know, then you're talking about the convention, I don't know, the total budget, they exclude just the direct charges. But normally, I don't know whether at this stage, Finland, where we normally exclude even the debt that should have been taken out, that's talking about exactly how much is coming to us. At what stage do we do that? The question is, on page 5, you know, the second sentence excludes direct charges, no? And then gives the total budget. But I'm saying, I assume that somewhere we should exclude your national debt, no? And then talk about what is allocated. It is appropriate. So I'm saying this 564 is the amount that is appropriate, because I think that we should then excluding, we should add that national what we call. Am I right? Okay.
The thing is, one of our members, this is the stage where we exclude the direct revenue charge, because it's not allocated in terms of the appropriation speed. So the 588 is the actual amount of money that is located through appropriation speed, which we need to focus on in terms of the speed. But we can indicate, however, that this excludes so much amount of money from the direct revenue charge, because that's where our main focus is, Chair. Even in terms of your any monitoring, on quarterly reports, when you're monitoring, you are actually monitoring this 588 instead of the direct charge. It's not in the provision. The direct charge is not part of the provision speed. Mm-hmm. It's not a voted amount.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not. For the purpose of
that's for the purpose of this report, because, as Parliament, we need to monitor everything, including
that debt or whatever they pay. But for the purposes of this report, yes. Yeah. Okay. Repulsive. So just on my own education, when we say darakajis, you're referring to those things that you did mention. Just for my own education.
Direct charges includes its debt service costs, its provincial equitable share, its salaries for members of parliament, its salaries for judges and magistrates, its special allocations for the education, seat allocation.
Is that going to be part of it?
After the consultation, we'll also get the report start. We'll monitor that. Thank you. Let's do section three.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members. 3.1, National Treasury. National Treasury briefed the committee on the 2013 appropriation bill. National Treasury stated that the bill provides for appropriation of money from the National Revenue Fund for spending subject to provisions contained in the Public Finance Management Act. In addition, transfers to sub-national government were subject to provisions contained in the Division of Revenue Act of 2013. The committee was concerned with the significant allocations for infrastructure investment allocated to provincial and local spheres of government in relation to the successful completion of long-term development projects. In particular, many infrastructure projects at local government level had not been completed per specifications. The committee pointed out to the need to distinguish between funding earmarked for refurbishments and maintenance and funding for long-term developmental infrastructure projects. National Treasury indicated that most infrastructure spending was for replacement of existing infrastructure. With regard to the maintenance of infrastructure, the committee pointed out to the need to enhance the monitoring of maintenance and replacement budgets of departments and entities. The committee was of the view that it was easy for departments to neglect the correct maintenance of existing infrastructure and thus rather opt to request additional funding for new infrastructure developments. For example, there was a need to track if infrastructure developments earmarked for a lifespan of 20 years were not poorly maintained, thus reducing their useful lifespan to much less than that planned for. The committee welcomed the moderation in budget allocations for composition of employees. However, the committee indicated that future estimates of composition of employees should not presume specific increases before negotiations had been finalized. To improve planning, funding should be set aside beforehand in the contingency reserve to cater for negotiated outcomes of wage negotiations and measures put in place for predictable budget outcomes. The committee welcomed government commitment to infrastructure investment of 827.1 billion over the MTEF. However, there was a need for an explicit differentiation of funding allocated from the fiscal and funding raised by state enterprises. The committee was concerned with the consistent poor performance in the provision of water services. In addition, the committee pointed out to the lack of alignment and integration in the implementation and rollout of water services by various state institutions, In particular, the committee was concerned about the rollout of water services in the local governments here. National Treasurer noted that there were challenges in the private sector, which includes the National Department, Water Trading Entity, the 12 water boards, water service authorities, and municipalities. The committee pointed out that it had recommended that specific clauses be explicitly incorporated in the appropriation bill on the enforcing of planning as a requirement for infrastructure programs. The committee noted the response by the Minister of Finance on the incorporation of planning requirements for infrastructure in current revisions to the Treasury regulations. However, given the persistent underperformance in national transfers on infrastructure to provinces and local government, the committee viewed it as imperative that the clause be explicit in the appropriation bill.
Okay. Any comments?
Sir, the comments is just on the page 7, the second paragraph. This is about compensation of employee. What are we exactly saying there? Because I thought that...
I had that. Where did that come from? I'm looking for the
It's on the third sentence. Third sentence on that paragraph 2. After they finalize this, to improve planning, funding should be set aside beforehand in a contingency reserve to cater for negotiated outcome, for wage negotiations and measures be put in place for predictive important outcome. Just want to find out what are we saying? Currently, is it the debt size negotiated multi-year agreement, always 3 year. Wage agreement. So we know what's going to happen next year because the agreement is already stipulating in terms of the percentage, whether the CPI plus one, the indicators are already built into the budget. So next year's budget, we know what the department is going to be budgeting for. So what are we trying to say with this? I just want to find out because now it takes another tangent. This particular paragraph.
I think that you're correct, Honorable Matlakane. Maybe what we, the sentence as needs, maybe it's not complete in that correctly it's a reflection of what transpired in the meeting that this issue was raised. But I think that the response was what you're talking about, that actually the reason is because of this that there was an agreement, multi-year, what you call agreement. I think the sentence would be complete if we add that to clarify what this is. I don't know if that will, what you call it, then make sense. Yeah, I think, yes.
No, just, I think we're using contingency reserve. Contingency reserve, we're saying we want the money to be put in the contingency reserve, but then we say we need a predictable budget outcome. So what do we say? So I think we're confusing ourselves with these words that we're using.
Mm.
At the moment, Chair, there is 3 year wage agreement agreed to.
Yes.
We know what's going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's predictable.
Mm.
Before it was not predictable because you didn't know what's going to be, it would depend on the negotiations. So, first, second, and third year, we know what it is, it's predictable. Say 7%. That 7%, it can't go beyond 7% because it's already reached 2 with labor union. Now, I'm saying maybe the phrase, either the phrase should say, in our deliberation, what we agree is a better budget, is a better planning and budget, is this multi-year budget because it provides certainty for the empty period. So we confirm that approach is a correct approach.
Mm.
Our approach, our sentence here, is as if the wage negotiations annually.
Mm.
You see my point?
No. I agree with all you, Honorable Nathan. I also wanted to maybe talk about the phrasing of this, either the rephrasing or
a total, what you call a response, but we could, you're right about rephrasing, because I think that what the what was being reflected here is a discussion. The discussion was not coming from an informed position, in that there must be a what you call agreement. Because I think the issue that was raised was why does the minister upfront announces that there's 5% that is put aside for public sector? Isn't that leading to, is it not the issue that is leading to the strikes and the where public sector unions are of the view that the government is arrogant in dealing with them? And then there was that clarification there. Maybe it is the one then that we should what we call a reflect here for this multi the way our former Sagana was explaining, so that we don't go back to what was said, what was what called, that the how the what we call it, the issue is. I hope we're listening to that. We will assist you usually with the wedding. Eh? All right.
Uh-huh.
I think from let's take a positive
sentence
on this.
Mm.
Let's take a positive and let's say the committee work out in the recent multi-year budget settled with the trade union, because that provides a certainty on the budgeting for compensation for employees. Isn't that better?
There's understanding and observations, not yet, nothing what it will. You become something. Okay. What are you reporting on here? He's reporting on what Treasury said. And that's not the committee, that's what I mean. So it's got to go to finding the observations, what you're saying.
That part of still have to be repaired.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Yes. Just somebody else.
Okay.
I think I
it
on the
body.
Yeah,
to the writer or to the drafters. This paragraph from it says, however, if you read the second sentence, however, the committee indicated that the future estimates and compensation of them should not be presumed. It suggests the whole thing is wrong. Because we as a budget committee, we should be more on our toes. The wage agreement was agreed last year, the multi-year. So our assumption here, and the way we wrote it, is as if this agreement last year did not exist. I think it needs a complete reconstruction to make the point that we need to make there. But otherwise, it's absolute. Now, the question I'm asking, what's the value of it?
I thought you would come to that.
What's the value of this that we are trying to paint Peter here? I don't see much of it.
Yeah, no, you're correct on that problem, because once the, I think the at the beginning there was an impression that around the government announcing prior to negotiation. Now, that is in the is that now is not the case.
No.
So it means that paragraph we can do without it.
When you do budget, you've got to allow something in the budget. Now we know what we're going to allow, what we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, to make the statement from our side, to say, improve planning funding should be set aside beforehand to continue to cater negotiated outcomes. You don't know what it's going to be. If you put 5% in there, the proposed users will ask for 7. If you put 3% in there, they'll ask for 7. They will keep asking what they want to ask. If you're just putting anything there, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you do the, when you do the budget. And must, you must budget for it. You can't just leave it out and not have anything in there. So I agree with Honourable Matakana that I'll send this guy out.
We're being generous, and I was saying the whole paragraph.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the... Now it's fine. Page 8, Honourable Snair. Is Honourable Member not leaving the House in the right direction? Okay. I see Honourable Swab is reserving himself for the afternoon, for this afternoon or for tomorrow. Honourable Swab? Are you okay?
It's next week, yeah.
Next week?
Yeah, next week.
Okay. Financial and Fiscal Commission?
Report to Financial and Fiscal Commission. The Financial and Fiscal Commission in submission welcomed the 2013 appropriation bill and commended current allocation of resources to designated priority areas. However, the FFC was concerned with the limited development impact of increased government expenditure. The FFC stated that the challenges in general public service delivery lay not in technical financial management but in the political administration interface, human resource management, organizational resources, and capacity. In addition, negative sentiments on the country's fiscal governance and fiscal prospects were borne out by consistent lack of improvement in audit outcomes. The FFC noted that while there is the tightening of regulations at local government level, such as amendments to the Municipal System Act, prescribing competency criteria and other regulations related to conditions of employment of Section 757 managers, there was no similar process at provincial level. The key consideration was an assessment on whether the provincial financial governance instruments such as the PFMA were attaining their intended outcomes. The current dominant discourse in fiscal policy has been sustainability. The FFC indicated that central to efforts to achieve fiscal sustainability will be the conversion of budget expenditure. In addition, fiscal consolidation will remain under pressure in the medium term.
Honourable Member, paying attention? Yeah. I was asked about this issue on
this.
There should be
Comrade, there's a specific point, I'm not certain, but I think we can gather this.
Why, they bring that paragraph?
Yeah. That's okay. We'll come back.
Okay. Okay, we'll come in.
That part somewhere.
Yeah.
Now we'll come in. That's fine.
Yes, proceed.
The FFC indicated that positive economic growth will still be attained provided that reductions of projected government expenditure, that is wage bill, consequently consumer spending, are counterbalanced by increased infrastructure investment. With reference to spending that promotes economic development, FSC supported the emphasis on funding for education, infrastructure, energy, commission policy, economic regulation of utilities, trading standards and others. However, critical was the need to improve the quality of spending in provinces as they have significant levers to shape programs. In addition, national departments have yet to establish norms and standards for concurrent functions that are implemented by provinces. Therefore, access and quality of services differs markedly between provinces. With regard to investment in infrastructure, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission has identified and prioritized 18 strategic infrastructure projects. The FFC indicated that a significant share of identified infrastructure projects falls within the ambit of local government. This includes plans to expand electricity distribution networks, develop national capacity to assist at least 23 least resource districts, to develop infrastructure for delivery of basic services and coordinating the planning and implementation of public transport and quality human settlements. South African unemployment has remained consistently high for the past two decades. The high levels of unemployment place significant pressure on government budgets. The FFC's assessments of government's main pillars of economy policy, such as National Development Plan, New Growth Hub, Industrial Policy Action Plan, are anchored in significant expansion in government capital expenditure as a way of meeting government's job creation target of 5 million jobs in 2020 or 11 million jobs in 2030. The FFC found that fiscal expansions, increased infrastructure investment, and current expenditure have minimal impact on employment growth and must be accompanied by policy instruments that place emphasis on skills development and support small, micro, and medium enterprises. The FFC reported that skills and capacity are often a key challenge in the successful delivery of projects, services at local government level. The 2013-14 appropriation bill allocates $76.3 million for local government capacity improvements, which include municipal systems improvement grant, $240.3 million infrastructure skills development grant, $98.5 million, and the local government financial management grant, $424.7 million. FFC highlighted that conditions for local government capacity grants should be verifiable and fully adhered to, so as to ensure the achievement of desired outcomes. The committee pointed out that skills development needed to be a central tenet of the expanded public works program. That is to say, project leaders and facilitators should be competent and skilled in their respective roles. FFC indicated that the EPWT program needed to significantly scale up. However, the committee was concerned at the long-term skills impact of the EPWP program. The committee welcomed the positive government initiatives with regards to economic support and development. In addition, the committee noted the emphasis placed on the small, medium, and micro enterprises by the FFC and sought clarity on government's provision of training for entrepreneurs. The committee pointed out that there was a need to develop possible mentorship programs through partnerships between government and the private sector. The FFC agreed that in some instances, national policy objectives were not prioritized by provinces and local government. In addition, whilst local government capacity remains one of the main bottlenecks in implementing many government programs, there is no collective ownership of the consistent lack of capacity within local government. The committee pointed out to the need for an assessment of an overall governance superstructure insofar as the successful attainment of an effective delivery of an effective unitary state.
What is the last sentence?
The committee pointed out to the need for an assessment of an overall governance superstructure insofar as to the successful attainment of an effective unitary state.
That is very good.
Okay, who owns this?
Okay, any comments?
They agreed to, at the end of our meeting, to do that in conjunction with the Public Service Commission.
And doing what? Establishing a superstructure.
To analyze the current superstructure and to see how it ties into this one paragraph here. And with reference to the spending and relates to economic development, however critical was the need to improve the quality of spending in provinces as a significant reason to take progress. In addition, national departments are yet to establish norms and standards. So those things all form part of the superstructure of government. And if those aren't in place, then your governance superstructure has got weaknesses in it. We can put it into maybe a finding or recommendation. If you want to take it out of the body of the report.
No,
the point is this, this is a juggle. No, Chair. What is a superstructure?
Yeah, superstructure.
You can put superstructure in inverted commas.
No. We have three.
Chair, seeing as we don't know the meaning of that, I would just like to know. Stop at the top of the page. However, the committee was concerned with the long-term skill impact of the EPWP program. What does that mean? Is it negative impact or positive impact? What impact is it?
Last
time
at 8. Are we dealing with the FSC?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you comment on page 7?
Page what?
7. Page 7.
No,
we talked about this,
but we...
No comment.
No, I just want to ask on this, sir. Please help me with my ignorance. Yeah. We were talking about the Section 50 or the, what you call it, Section 57 of municipal. And then you said, then you continue to say that there was no similar process at a provincial level. Now, I wasn't sure what process are we talking about. Earlier on, the sentence was about regulations in the municipal level. So I just want to find out when you speak about, is it the manner of writing, or you didn't want to say something more a little bit for us to understand what you mean by process? I just want to understand what was in the head of the writer, sir.
Well, it could be both a number of but I think that what is being done here is to, you see, some people are suggesting that it is the part that we need to read, or should read the other part where was engagement. Because here, most of what is written here is the presentation by the FSC. This is the feeling of the FSC. I'm just maybe that is the starting point. But secondly, to respond directly to your question, the sentence at the beginning says, FSC noted that while there is a tightening of regulations at local level, such as amendments to the Municipal Systems Act prescribing competency criteria and other regulations pertaining to conditions of the employment of Section 57 managers, Section 57 managers are senior management at local level. So it could be that the sentence is not coming out clearly in terms of what we want to achieve. And then the sentence goes on. That is the understanding of FSC. But at the local level, it's prescribed that in order to qualify for being in this category of employment, you must have this qualification. Now, it's saying, it's FSC that says there is no similar what you call a process at the provincial and national level.
You're defending the word process. Chair.
No.
You can't defend it because process does not refer to regulation. Mm-hmm. It not as it refers to framework, what guides what has to happen. So for sake of consistency, you will have to make a reference to what does not exist at the level of the provincial level. If it's a regulated framework, or that regulation that regulate competency and skill.
English,
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're reading the same thing. Okay. But
but now you're helping us to say, well, maybe process is not the right way. That is another way.
Oh, my phone will test it also, so do you. We can use the word process.
So, as you say,
I think it was on here.
We have 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. And this is... Hello,
page 8, Honorable
on page 8, paragraph 4, the 7 million jobs in 2030 instead of 2130. And it was a typo error. Yes, 2013.
This is 1 0 to me.
2030.
Yeah, I guess that the author thought that the 7 million jobs can be done in the year 2130.
Yeah, that's good, more correct.
On the last para, is that second sentence meant to be a continuation of the first sentence? Because you have the that to say, this is the way you've written it. If it's part of it, shouldn't it read better if you were to put the semicolon and take out the that is to say, then just say that project leader should do this. This
just say IE.
Yeah. Are you going to sort out that convoluted language? And then we go to 3.3.
There was another line.
Yes.
Mm.
Honorable
Swap. What
time is that? Page top 9, page, or top of page 9.
Page 9, sir. I'd say that the sentence states that the committee was concerned at the long-term skills impact of the EPWP program. What does that mean? Were they concerned about the fact that there is no skills development, or were they worried about the fact that the skills development is very low or poor, or what does it say? What was our concern?
Now, maybe we should really rephrase that. To say that I think that this comes from the understanding that part of the package of EPWX was to upskill, and maybe that's what the sentence should say. Not it is this one. Currently, the sentence is not saying that. That maybe the committee is concerned that there's nowhere skill improvement from that, what you call it, coming out of that program as envisaged. Thank you, Honorable Swart. Namza, am I right?
Just the last sentence of 3.2. That's the first one. That superstructure that you want to form, I don't believe that.
Who is the superstructure?
I really want to form it, I see it, I live there. I won't follow that beginning with the structure.
Hello, Snap. Let's have a recombination. Oh, was that it?
No.
Okay.
I kind of, but I was not here, so I don't know anything.
I don't mind an honest snare of his colleagues to call us superstructure.
I think the drafters of the report maybe developed over time an understanding of things and to try to summarize a very complex question in one word. But maybe what we could say that in conceding the FSC in conceding that South Africa is a unitary developmental state, the Commission committed to undertake with the Public Service Commission an assessment to assess the current impact on service delivery in respect to the concurrent functions within the current constitutional framework. But then what they were saying I'm trying to simplify it. But look, we can take it out. We can even. But the fact of the matter is that they agreed to be able to look at that as a. Because a number of areas that they had raised when they made their presentation is in relation to that there is 43% of the budget is being spent basically, raised nationally, being spent at a provincial level. And the coordination in some form of a central control of that money. Now, that is a direct result of this so-called governance superstructure or the current legislative framework, which is a constitutional one. So, I mean, we can leave it. I don't want to get into a debate about it. I don't mind if we don't have it in, but somewhere I'd like it to. I wouldn't like their commitment to doing that work lost.
No. I think for me, I do understand now, as you explained. I do understand that the point arises from the fact that the FSC was saying, I'm just putting it in my own words, while Section 154 of the Constitution enjoins national and provincial government to support local government, that support doesn't seem to be coming.
It's the 154. Then it's also national government supporting provinces. Although Treasury is saying they've got all these programs in place, if so, why is this not working properly in the province? The other thing is the capacity building. The other thing is they're speaking about in concurrent functions to be able to have norms and standards legislated. That hasn't been done. So, if you haven't got norms and standards legislated, for example, how do you then bring about a Section 100 intervention? What do you benchmark your Section 100 intervention on? When does the MCOP then be able to say, okay, this Section 100 intervention can now be terminated because these norms and standards have been met? If there are no norms and standards, and that is for want of a better word, the governance superstructure. But to put it, that's why they are committed to do a study on that, Chair. And that's really what it is.
Chair, can we change that sentence to read as follows? The committee pointed to the need for an investigation into better coordination of functions between the different spheres of government.
I think that the message that was
I think FSC was talking about capacity of local government to deliver services, and I think that's what the Honorable Snare was to ensure that it is carried here in this report. So, broadly, if we put it too broadly, it's not going to convey the message that we want to convey.
No, sir.
But it's simpler way now, assisting the way you put in the sentence.
No, sir. If you take more than 1 minute to explain this sentence, like my learned friend colleague here has done now, it shows the complexity of what you want to convey. So, sir, no. My humble view would be there is a separation of role and functions of various entities. I would argue that if FFC wants to do that which they want to do, or do the investigation, it's not necessarily their function. Their function is quite separate from doing that kind of investigation. The ODs have nothing to do with FFC. Now, if they don't have enough work, they will go and do that and collaborate with the other agencies to do it. It's not for us. No, Chair. I'm just saying that I think there's just a principal discussion around this. We may find that it's nice to have it, but I still don't see, if we say that assessment of this sentence as it stands, what is this yardstick that we measure this on? Remember, we're a constitutional democracy. You've got a constitution, you've got 6 years of government, and we have different perspectives as to whether these things are working. But we're dealing with the money here. We're not dealing with what the FFC wants to do in cooperation with the Public Service Commission or any other institution. So my difficulty, even the difficulty on what Honorable Swart is suggesting about the concurrent function,
we have a major problem in this whole report, and this is why I'm very quiet. We have, in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Act, we have to listen to various departments, and we've got to, have the inputs, Finance Fiscal Commission, the Public Service Commission, and all that. But what the people should be doing in writing this report is only reflecting what those people said, not what we think, because what we think. Like this one, for instance, the committee. It's not the FSC that says this. The committee pointed to the need in terms of this. It's not our function to have it there. It's in findings and recommendations. That's where we could put it. But we should reflect only on what these people have said in what they've brought to us.
Matakana was still on the table, but I'll allow your intervention, because I thought that it would assist us with that. Because what you are raising is a view. Each stakeholder comes here present, and there's an engagement. But the observation that you're talking about are a summary of what we think that generally we observe. But I think here is a reflected engagement of what took place at that particular time. But I agree with you that maybe should it be here, should it go, it go there, it may be something that is debated. Sorry, Honorable Ramachandra. Let's allow Honorable Ramachandra to finish. Sorry, Honorable Ramachandra.
Yeah, no, I was wondering what's happening now, because I was on the floor, and the Honorable Swartz find it correct within me just to get in and speak. I'm saying, Chair, if we want to put this in a basket of observation of what is not working, we put it into a section in the report that is appropriate for that, because then it's debatable. It's not necessarily something that you can say. They can do whatever they want to do with observation. But I was uncomfortable that it's put with the FFC in the way it is, because then it means that FFC is going to undertake this function. which is not necessarily their function.
Yeah, okay. Now, I think that we, I'm not sure if we agree with you when you say it's not within FFC to do that when, but maybe, because it's not within FFC to make this recommendation. FFC makes the recommendation in general. But I hear that maybe you're saying that it's now overlapping to someone what we call a mandate, which is the public service. But what I was trying to check here is, who was proposing this infrastructure, Honorable Swan?
Not the hours,
whether it was, no, I'm just trying to, what you call, to tell you what I was trying to establish. Is it us proposing the superstructure? Is it what you call the FSC? Because what FSC was putting to us, if you look at the gist of the FSC's presentation, is that local government is not supported. That's one sentence. So there's not enough support for local government. Now, maybe if we want to put this proposal, Honorable Snell, on our behalf, maybe we could do it, whether it's at the findings, whether it's at the recommendations, that what is it? Because, but I do think that somehow, because somehow, I mean, FSC, his view is clear that there's not sufficient support that is given to local government. And when things don't go right with local government, everyone says, no, it's local government, it's not us and what. So I think this discussion emanated from that view. Now, whether we put it here or... but also, I think that, I mean, whether we put it here or as observation is one thing, but the other question could be that as a committee, are we agreed with this? Do we think that the superstructure is something that perhaps needs to be done? There is a public service commission. How does the superstructure relate to the public service commission, which is responsible for dealing with issues of capacity of government, but I don't know if they also monitor local government, because from what is happening, from that report of FSC, it doesn't look like anybody, including the Public Service Commission, really what you call a support. But again, there's a contradiction, because the same report, on page 8, the second paragraph from the bottom, it says, FSC reported that skills and capacity are often a key challenge hindering the successful delivery of projects at such levels. Next sentence, the 2013-2014 appropriation bill allocates $763 million for local government capacity improvement and what to. So now, this side we say, no, there's no support. This side is the same what we call we're pointing out the capacity that is being done by local government by national government to enhance capacity at local government. Maybe if we want to add it, we should add it somewhere, but we could phrase it differently, you know, so that we don't say that there's nothing altogether. I'm just pointing out this contradiction. Thank you. Honourable Snell.
Chair, I think what we must maybe is just step backwards a little bit, and maybe this sentence has brought it. You see, basically, what the Money Bills Amendment is saying is that we have to, by legislation, get input for FFC. That's the only one. The rest of the process is us interacting with, and it's happened now historically because we haven't had the support of a budget officer, so we've taken initiative to interact with different departments.
theoretically what should happen is other standing committees should be coming to us, all members of the public, saying that they don't believe the budget should be like this or like that, and we need to amend to do certain things. Now, we haven't got the capacity until that budget office is running to be able to do that. So we've been trying to extract issues of concern. So I think what we might then need to do is, in the body of the report, pick up those areas that were just reported to us, because we can't make any recommendations to change the numbers, okay, at the moment. But what we can do is we can make recommendations or general observations, whatever we want to call them, how to, in our opinion, to improve things going forward. Training is one, this investigation is another one, whatever the situation is. But this report, basically, we would, if everything was normal, we would be going to the House to say, yes, we agree with the Department of Public Service and Administration to say that this, or the Committee on Public Service Administration, that this money must be shifted from here to there. So I think that would take, Mr. Swart's consensus, also take in the Honourable Lennis, and then we can go for just the way the report structured.
Okay, let's break it down, let's move then. I think we just confirm that now. The public service.
3.3, Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission was invited to comment on the 2013 Appropriation Bill. In its submission, it addressed the following issues, namely governance, efficient economic and effective use of appropriated funds, especially the disjuncture between the alignment of departments' predetermined objectives and actual expenditure, an assessment of skills and capacity levels of departments to deliver on key infrastructure programs, an assessment on the use of consultants in national government. In its submission, the Public Service Commission, herein after adopted as the Commission, focuses presentation on departments that are directly or indirectly involved in infrastructure programs, namely education, energy, health, human settlements, public enterprises, public works, transport and water affairs. The Commission assessed financial disclosures of senior management service members and found that only 84 out of 154 national and provincial departments complied fully with the financial disclosure framework. The departments not complying fully with the financial disclosure framework include basic education, health, public works, and water affairs. The Commission manages the national anti-corruption hotline and refers cases to departments. Less than half of corruption cases referred were closed in 83% of national and provincial departments. Furthermore, the number of referred cases closed as at end of May 2013 is zero in education, 17% in energy, 4% in health, 1% in human settlements, 100% in public enterprises, 27% in public works, 59% in transport, and 43% in water affairs. The Commission reported that while departments incurred significant amounts of irregular and unauthorized expenditure, only marginal amounts were reported for financial misconduct, thus suggesting under-reporting by departments on cases of financial misconduct. The committee viewed the involvement of the Forum of South Africa, South African Director General, as critically elevating the need to truly deal with cases of financial misconduct. In many instances, the discipline is not managed effectively due to inadequate capacity to chair disciplinary hearings and represent departments. The Commission's analysis of the 10-11 and 11-12 annual reports of 77 national and provincial departments shows that the number of departments that suspend employees for periods exceeding 60 days is increasing. The committee sought clarity on possible interventions in cases where suspensions exceeded 60 days. The committee was concerned at litigation costs that may arise out of extended periods of suspensions. The Commission indicated that the management of discipline was a function of individual departments, but that the Department of Public Service and Administration was looking into setting up a structure to manage disciplinary functions. The Commission indicated that while most departments spend 90% and above of their allocated budgets, the percentage share of national and provincial departments that managed to achieve more than 80% of their planned targets declined from 9% to 4% from the 10-11 financial year to the 11-12 financial year, respectively. The table below shows trends in spending versus performance for the main departments responsible for infrastructure delivery. And then table 5 gives performance versus budget. The committee expressed serious concerns at the persistent non-attainment of targets, while departments managed to regularly exhaust budget allocations. In particular, the committee has found in its assessment of national departments' financial performance that departments struggle to spend budgets as per projections throughout the year. In some instances, only 50% of appropriated funds have been spent by the end of the third quarter, yet a large share of the budget is spent within the last quarter of the financial year. The committee views this phenomenon as a clear case of fiscal dumping and the fundamental reason on why planned performance targets are not attained. The committee views the support of executive authorities and of departments in departments' performance management systems as critical for the attainment of accountability systems in government. The commission indicated that there has been a steady decline in the number of HODs evaluated over the past 5 years. In particular, HODs in the public service are required to enter into performance agreements with their EAs and these file with the PSC by June of each year. However, the overall compliance rate for the submission of performance agreements of HODs by the due date of 30 June 2012 was 65%. With reference to the vacancy rates, the Commission reported that as at 30 June 2012, almost 80% of departments had a vacancy rate of above 80% in respect of professionals and senior managers. The average length of time to fill posts in more than 70% of national and provincial departments was more than 9 months. The committee sought clarity on reasons that led departments to appoint staff that is additional to the approved staff establishment. The commission indicated that Chapter 1, Part 1, 3 of the Public Service Regulations provides for such practice, but that it would investigate possible cases of abuse. Furthermore, the commission reported that it may be a cost-effective way of appointing consultants by departments as remuneration will be within government personnel grading systems. The committee expressed concerns at the consistent high vacancies in technical and professional job categories. The committee indicated that its expectation was that as more posts are filled in the public service, there will be a simultaneous decline in the use of consultants. The Commission in submission reported preliminary findings on its current study on the role of outsourcing in public service delivery shows that although 23% of the sample departments indicated that their service delivery models in place, copies could not be obtained and departments could not explain what the models entailed. A major concern emanating from this finding is that the use of consultants without such guiding models may lead to possible duplication of skills and effort. Furthermore, the Commission's analysis shows that the largest share of the department's budgets for consultants, contractors, and agencies is spent on infrastructure, that is, departments of public works, roads, and transport combined.
Thank you. Okay. On page 9. Okay. We're here with page 9.
Yeah. Indirectly. Sorry. Directly or indirectly, ne?
Right.
On page 9. Instead of directly or directly.
Very directly.
On page 9. The fire one. Yeah.
Where not everything that people are supposed to be. On page 10,
that last paragraph on that page 10, some of the elements therein must go into the findings of the report. Just tell you some of the issues there. And on page 11. Page 11 says, we have to ask the Public Service Commission, or in fact page 9, on the second paragraph, the number of departments. We say there's a problem with the department within the 60 days provision. And then we say number of departments. I don't know whether we say number because we are unable to count whether there are 5 or 10.
On page 10,
on second paragraph. You say number of departments. It's a quick writing. Second paragraph. We did ask, at some point I think we asked them which are the department. I don't know whether they managed to answer that question. It's also on page 11, on the second paragraph. We're talking about the 65 compliance. We did ask who are these departments that are not compliant. I asked that question. I think they have submitted their answer to that question. If we could just fix that in. Because already on, you see on page 9, we already started saying basic education and so on and so did not comply. But when you go to the next paragraph, we find a different phrase to say number of departments, only 65%, but we don't know say who.
Now the challenge,
if you would remember, and I think that there's a word here that is used, which if you're dealing with the Public Service Commission, is a key word. They say sample. They take a sample of departments. From that sample, assume that there is what you call the average. That's why I talk about the number of departments, because they have not done with all the departments, but there were a few departments that picked up, but there is this problem. I think that's why then there's a difficulty saying out of the 38 departments, 20 departments are doing this, but it's a sample that you know that the municipal is done. So. But secondly, the other thing is, you're quite right to say that questions were put to the public service, who are these departments? I think the Justice Club was what they call it, mentioned, for instance, that day. There are a number of problems, I think in Justice and Constitutional Department. I think there was a mention of that, if my recollection is correct. But you're right to say they were not able to pinpoint exactly. But I know that the police and the, I think they were mentioning around departments that were not able to fill this position on time, among the departments that are not able to fill this position on time. But then the issue is that when people are sampling, now do you take those that have been mentioned, like you're victimizing them now because they have been mentioned, but there's a number of departments which were not what you call a sample. So I think the critical becomes there, you know.
If it makes sense. Chair, no, we are progressing committee. We are not naming and shaming anyone. We are talking facts. Don't fear that we say it's a, otherwise we would be doing this in the air.
Mm.
We're talking about performance agreement.
Yeah.
They are saying all heads of department must sign performance agreement with ministers. They are saying only 65% comply, and they receive all of them. They can tell you that this part that did not comply is 1, 2, 3, 4. In some category, they will say to you, this one submitted after the deadline. This one did not submit at all because they can't do a sample. They must do the assessment of all received performance agreement with the executing authority. So all I'm saying here, Chair, on page 11 on the top, which are the 35% that did not sign the performance or submit the performance agreement on the 30th of June? That answer is not difficult because they didn't do some, they have looked at all the departments. So on the one that you were referring to as well, they were dealing here with the disciplinary inquiries. All the misdemeanors, they have done scan of all the departments, the outstanding DCs. And they say so many of these DCs are beyond 60 days as prescribed. Others are 1 year, others are 2 years. So they have done the analysis of all what has been received as of what is called the disciplinary inquiry pending or in process. So, and they say it's because of lack of capacity of the chairs of the disciplinary committees and so on. So the question we ask, which are these departments that are not combined? It's not yet at that level where we shame them or victimizing them. All we want is the fact. Because at the moment, it can be education, while education has already been in the same education on page 9, about the non-compliance of certain things. So all I'm saying, I asked a specific question to them. Which are these departments that are not compliant? So if you don't want to put them in, fair enough, the names of the department, but yet we're not talking to, we're not pointing a finger, we're only saying they have not complied. When you ask them, they can say the reason, there were this reason why it made us impossible for us to comply. But for the factual purposes, my view, we should have inserted them. Because we are fighting it. If we say number of departments, we are fighting the question. We're not saying it's ABC that has not complied.
I think the issue of Honorable Ramasana, I hear, maybe it could be much better if we, though I don't remember us saying to them, maybe we should have said them, but somebody will assist me to say, I remember the question being asked of who profits provide us with this information. I think that maybe we haven't made a follow-up on that. But I know that a number of departments, including public web, they've responded, they've got a response. Just make those copies available to members. Sorry? Okay. The other copies, ne? But not public service. Okay. I think that the other thing is that public service comes with a beautiful, what you call it, presentation. However, they don't give us the narrative of that. They give us just the presentation. Yeah. But we want the narrative of that, where, so that you could be able to read now for yourself the details of that. And maybe that information could have been available there. But what we'll do is to make a follow-up. Is to make a follow-up on this one. That's to get if there are those that, because they have this information. Okay. Sorry, ma'am. We're dealing with public service now.
Yes, but they are voting.
No, we wrote it. But this section of the report, it says this was the gist of this was their presentation on this part.
Okay, but then why do we write things that we are not certain about? Why do you have 10 page questions that were not clarified? Because I agree with what you said. You can't say so much percentage we have not complied, and yet we are not sure. We don't know whether it's true or not. We don't know what informed the percentage because we have no feedback. And the question was not answered satisfactorily. So if it's our report, I think we should put only things that we are aware of and were satisfied with the test when they were presenting in front of us.
Well, as you can see, that's why some say maybe what we need to do to well is to, like all the other departments, because there was not enough time, we said to them on the other question that they were not able to testify as we answer to the new provider.
with different points. And I think that Honorable Barakan, I don't remember saying to them they need to provide us with different points, but if we didn't do that, it could have been a commission, a serious commission, because that information is important. I mean, it is the main part of their way. So they were supposed to provide us with real data information. So maybe what we could do is to ensure that we make a follow-up on this outstanding information. It will help the public.
But in the meantime, sir, I think it's not possible for us to talk about percentages, since until such time the question is answered, because we can only talk about something that we can elaborate when questions are asked. We can't put something on black and white, something that we cannot be able to elaborate. As soon as they give answers to that question, then we can put it in the report. And from where I sit at chair, I've never heard, I remember we had, I'm not sure whether it was GPME or Treasury, but it's always, we never have the names of this department who are not complying. They will say some, but when you ask the question, that question is not answered. It has never been answered. It will be brushed aside and they will follow, but that question is not answered. So I think it's on the safe side. Let's deal with the issues that we are able to defend, the issues that we are able to answer questions on, as part of our report, unless you are saying this is what they have said.
No, I think you're right, Tom. But I think that if you look at that first paragraph, or the second paragraph, where basic education is mentioned, they are dealing with the infrastructure, what you call with departments that are involved on infrastructure, which are a few departments, and they say that all those departments, department not complying fully with financial disclosure framework includes. That is their report. The question that I think raised about 65%, I think that let's agree that, I mean, that is their work, is the main work that they are doing. I agree with Honorable Khan that they should be having that information. I think so. After that, ask them to make that information available to us. But again, I think it's going to be difficult, Honorable Members, to say if there's no concrete, what we call it, information on what they are telling us, we don't have, it's difficult to put it. I think it's difficult because all of this, what you said here, comes from them. They say that 65%. Now, the question, the follow-up that the committee made was to say, but who constitutes this 85%? You're right to say that now, if they don't come with the names, we want them to come with a report. That's what you said we would follow up around there. So I'd request that let's do that. Let us make a follow-up on that. But the report is a reflection of what they presented to us. Now, in terms of saying, is it factual? Is it not factual? I think that's why we say the Public Service Commission said this, and that is the presentation that we have. Thank you, Honourable Members. Any other comments?
Yes, Tedela? Yeah, maybe. Just a small one. Yeah. Maybe just to assist the process of the reporting. On page 10 in that paragraph, what we can request
is the tracks, maybe for the past 3 years, so that we can validate the claims that are being made here. Say for the past 3 years, what are the trends? I'm referring to the number of departments that suspended employees for period exceeding 50 days. Since there's a claim that is made here that the number of departments are increasing, so we can just request that trend and say, can you give us from 2010, 2011, 2011, 2012, to 2013, what is the trend? Then we can validate this claim. Say indeed they are increasing because these are the figures, this is the trend. But for now, it's going to be difficult for us to validate it and conclude it. We don't have the evidence, that one. So we're going to request that from the PSC. And then secondly, we can also request the departments that constitute 35%. It's simple. On page 11. But also, Chair, one of the things that I've suggested to SIPO is that maybe in future, because if PSC report is very, you know, informative, we may want to say, in future, let's identify departments that are going to be invited for the hearings. Then when we write the letter of invite to PSC, we then suggest to PSC that we want you to focus on these departments. You can add other departments, as you are correctly saying that they are assembling. Whenever you invite them, they will assemble probably about 7 to 8 departments that they will give you an analysis on. But it's for us to assist the process of reporting. So it's going to be much better for us to actually give them focus. So you can focus on these departments, we can add others, fine, so that when we deal with hearings, we've got all the facts before us in relation to those departments that we'll be reporting on. Thank you, Chair.
You know, the challenge is that maybe what we need to do, let's not reinvent the what took place that day. I think all that we're looking now is to say, is this a reflection of what took place that day? I think the questions that you're raising about the 3 years and what are relevant. However, that is a report that is being requested that please give us this report so that we can be able to validate what you say. That's one thing. But the last one about the focus on departments, a certain department, I'm not sure about that because the depending on the question that we raise with them, the question that we raise with them is a question of compliance in general. Now, unless we have this information that says in the past 3 years these people have not been compliant, maybe they are perpetual offenders, then you can start pointing now to say with a focus on this, looking for improvements, if there are improvements. But the difficulty is that when you get the presentation, you get the presentation at the last minute. In general, it's very difficult now to ask for something else when you give them a mandate to say, give us a report on this. You take that. But I'm saying, I'm taking the point that you're raising, and I'm sure coming next year,
if we're still around, then we can, obviously, we can always improve on what we are doing.
But the point that I wanted to come to raise, the point that I wanted to raise on my side is just the language. No? On page 10, the paragraph that 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th paragraph. No? It's the paragraph starting with the commission indicated that. No? On the 1, 2, 3, the third sentence, starting with managed to achieve more than 80% of their planned targets. I think maybe they use predetermined objectives. I think let's use that what you call that language of a predetermined objective, because sometimes targets might be a little bit narrower than the predetermined objectives. Again, the last paragraph,
the committee expressed serious concerns at the persistent non-attainment of those, what you call them. On the next, on page 11, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, starting with the committee, short. I think it's just the a correction of grammar there. It says the committee shall clarify. I think it's meant to sort. That's correct. And then the next paragraph, starting with the commission, emphasis on commission, sentence 1, 2, 3, 4. There, I just. Starting with A major concern emanating from this finding is that the use of consultants without such guiding models may lead to possible duplication of the skills and efforts. So I'm not sure, but but it's fine. No, it's fine, but just continue. I just wanted to flag it down and then come back to it. And Ankman Konye.
I didn't get the final decision on those. Do we include those paragraphs and wait for information from TSC, or do we exclude them?
Let's leave them for now, but get this information from TSC, so that I think the issue that is being raised is that it is validation of this assembly.
The report will be adopted tomorrow, Jefferson. I don't know practically whether we'll have received that information. So I'm concerned that we'll have this information and cannot have the evidence for it.
No, I said what I tried to explain was that look, this report from the different what you call the stakeholders that we invited reflects what they said to us. If you go to their presentation, this is what you'll find. It's not us, not diluted. This is what they told us. But I think that the suggestion was saying, let's, over and above this, let's get concrete, what you call it, information, for instance. You might be right that we might not get it by the end of business day tomorrow. I think you're quite right. But it doesn't stop us from requesting that information. We must get that information.
If I may ask, I was not here. Why are you recommend that we must have in our report something that we are not sure of? Why don't you simply say, let's put this thing aside and continue the others until such time? Why do we have to have something that we are worried whether it's accurate or not accurate? Because I think this question has been raised by different people, but at the end, we end up saying, yeah, we hear, we understand, but let's put it in. If you can just tell me, why don't you see when we don't have evidence on it? Will it be really a change now? Should we put this thing aside and come with other things that we can send?
You know, I don't want it. The decision to be that's my decision alone. It must be the decision of the committee in terms of how it wants this report. If, for instance, let's just for a moment put aside that what you call the. In fact, let me, before I come to that, let me just say the lot, as much of this information here is. There was no evidence except that they say that this is what is happening. And except for those, what you call departments where they say they thought that, where they say the department achieved so much of the predetermined objectives. Now, for instance, the next paragraph after the 65% says, with a reference to vacancy rate, Commission reported that as at 30th of June 2012, almost 80% of departments had a vacancy rate of 10%. Now, I'm just saying, for the sake of consistency, should be able to, maybe if you want to say, okay, show us the report that as at the 10th of June, you had a vacancy rate of 10%. Is that what we want to call it to say? I don't need your guidance really on this, because I think that in all these areas where there are percentages, it is going to give us a challenge. We just need to be consistent of how we want to write our report. The 5th paragraph. Fifth paragraph says, starting with the Commission, the Commission in its submission reported that that preliminary findings on its current study on the role of outsourcing in public services shows that although 23% of some sample departments, that one is easy because it's sample departments. Okay. So, is it true that we remove this, because I think to me the issue, well, let's say by the 30th of June 2012, they should be having that evidence. I don't think that is something that they don't have. It should be there. Sorry? Honourable Swart.
Sure. Performance agreements are submitted to the Public Service Commission, not to anybody else, to the Public Service Commission. So that 65% is accurate, they know exactly. The only thing that we don't know is which departments there is, those are not compliant. But the 65% is correct, because once they give you that figure, but I agree with you that we question them as to which departments they are, so that we can actually follow up on that. But the information that's in here is accurate as presented to us by Public Service Commission. If we want further information, which I think is correct that we should get it, then we must ask them for it.
Now, the question, Honourable Swart, is to say, if we don't have that information in front of us, we should not write the 65%.
That's what the information they gave us. That's the factual information they gave us.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That is what they gave us.
Yeah.
And the other one, it means that we must ask them for, to get those that were not, that didn't comply, it means that we must ask for this 65% so that we can have access to, we can be able to know who is the 30, who constitutes the 35%.
That's my case.
Just on the other, I'm worried about the participation. On the paragraphs, 4th paragraph, starting with the committee sought clarity. There's another sentence there that says, furthermore, the commission reported that do we need a furthermore there? Or we can say, well, maybe it's fine, because maybe if you don't say furthermore, you could say the commission also. I don't think that's just let's just leave it. No? Sorry, pa?
Yeah. What's written there to what was said, is that, you see, the way it's written there, reason that lead departments appoint staff that is additional to the approved staff establishment. That only that's just some short-term contracts on the place they're speaking about, so that you can go and employ people for a specific task outside of the established organogram. So that they were arguing to say that
it's actually cheaper to be able to appoint your own staff to do that work for a short, or for a fixed term period, than to hire consultants. So I don't know if it's captured quite like this.
And
they're actually recommending that more departments should do that,
yeah,
rather than hire.
They were very clear on that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think the way on departments should employ their own people, but taking into account that sometimes it may not be what it was, it will not always work, but the recommendation was that they should employ people. I did not get what the president the net product guidance that I was expecting, you know. Now, Omar said that we come into interaction with selected national departments. I don't know if you want us to go through the department, but the department that we need to comment on, I hope that also, I mean, in the findings, you have what I started to make mention. The Department of Communication. Just remember, honourable members, the report says on page 2, on the communication page, it says the comment was as a non-attendance of the director at the meeting by the referral, after which it was found that the Nahinde Apollo specifically indicated that their powers were under process of being reviewed by the minister. No, this is not what the study of Apollo was saying. The apology was very clear to us. He said that air power has been reviewed. What is the term that was used in the apology? No.
Suspended.
No, yeah, it's an apology.
Sorry?
You remember the apology of communication?
Yeah. I think the problem actually was that we weren't sure what delegated. She was saying that a certain member of the management would represent her, but then in the same letter she was saying that certain of her powers had been withdrawn. So we weren't sure of which of those powers had been withdrawn, and therefore which of those powers would maybe have been delegated to the person that was standing in for it. So that was the quandary that we had.
Maybe let's say then, let's not use the word that we're under the culture of open review. You said that their powers are wrong. But, I would suggest that we add another sentence. I don't know if the, or maybe paragraph. A letter of clarification from the minister, and then I asked that letter be distributed to all the members. I don't know if the members got that letter from the minister who was clarifying what was wrong. Because in the letter, the minister says, look, I don't write the paragraph.
up to a new paragraph. Because in the letter by the minister, she says that the power that has been withdrawn or taken away from the district are those of the impact on you. So the minister was of the view that the DC has no reason not to appear before the court.
The chapter said, I was not here.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me, why do you, the purpose of the objective of having all these debates in this court? Because for me, it could be one sentence. If you dismiss the committee of commutations because there were unclarified things. I mean, you can put it in the level, you can formulate in such a way that we are not seen as this committee believing either of the two, because the letter of the minister, did it came on the very same day?
No.
But then what relevance does it have? Because it did not hurt you on that day. It's a letter that came after. And the DC has not said anything to us as the committee. Because if we get into the details of what the minister said and what really it's going to take the dignity of this committee, breaking tomorrow. So I think we must just find a way of formulation of a, we could not see the Department of State, this department, in a nice way, in this way, that doesn't put anybody on spot, either the minister or the DG.
I think that I appreciate what you're saying, Honorable Yengen. The problem, I think that maybe you, all of us must try to assist with in this particular paragraph, is that that meeting was a joint meeting with the what you call one, was a joint meeting with the other committee. Two, these meetings are public meetings. Even when now, when you think that there's no one in this room, for instance, there, the media was phoning, what are you going to do now with the fact that about the Director General. So I agree with you that maybe if we don't want to put it like that, let's put it in such a way. I mean, how do we report that paragraph? Do we say, or do we take a communication out, or what do we do? I just really need guidance on how to compile this report. Because what this report is saying is what transpired, but I agree with you that maybe we should find a way of putting it. The report of the minister did not, her own, what you call it, clarification letter came later on, after she received the report about, I think, from her staff about what happened, what transpired in the meeting.
Chief,
yes,
this is our report. This is not a media report. Whatever they have said, they cannot dictate on us what exactly we want to write in our report. But my
concern is to get into these dynamics of the department. That as this committee, we don't know what is going on really. So I think we should not be shy. We are, this committee is our own topic, but we should not be shy to write what you want to write. You know, and some that you can, when you are questioned about, you are able to answer it. We can't write that the minister said this, the minister sent a letter, and then the lady was there, or the gentleman was there, and then we discovered that he really, what is that for us? As a member of parliament, you really want this thing, yes. Something that you can formulate in one or two sentences.
What are you suggesting?
No, let me come up with a formulation too. Or you can have a formulation, thank you.
Okay. For me, it is, what are we wanting to achieve with the report? Okay, that's the first thing. Our main objective by these reports should be the shifting of budgets. We're not able to even be able to offer an informed opinion as to what we would propose going forward in that department. Because it is a process in the department and this and the portfolio committee dealing with these kind of dynamics. And so I'll just take it out. Because we're not able to. I'll just take it out. But you can report that they were invited and there was we weren't able to take the submission due to the fact that
there is uncertainty about the
uncertainty about the delegation
about the legitimacy of the delegation.
Yes.
So what is it that you are suggesting on our personnel that we don't particularly or we omit it altogether or we put it but then maybe record it the way you are suggesting?
Yeah, I don't see. There's a process, there's an internal disciplinary process taking place within the department at the moment.
Yeah.
So that process is taking place. Mm-hmm. If the process wasn't taking place, I would say maybe we could start to make. But it's not going to help the budget, it's not going to be able to enrich the department's work going forward. I'll just take this thing out.
Or this report.
Yeah. Or this report for that case. Yeah.
I don't know if there is a suggestion. But we omit the Department of the Communication.
Chair, I just go after something which we can say about the Department of Communication and say the committee expressed uncertainty about the legitimacy of the delegation of power by the Director General and agreed to seek clarity in this regard before receiving a presentation by the department.
Or before allowing the department to present.
You know, the suggestion that Honourable Personnel was giving, I think that maybe let me start with your own suggestion. Your own suggestion, the challenge is that you're quite right. The challenge was that we said to them, we'll come back once we have a properly constituted delegation. Now, we haven't done that. We do not have the time to do that. But I think that then Honorable Snell says that if we are reporting at all, the suggestion that which I thought that it was taking us forward, that's to say that committee was not happy with the delegation. That's all. But I think that if we report coming to what Honorable Yengen is saying, if we have this report at all, you know what it does? It puts us a question of how we are approving that department, what we call a budget. Maybe rather it is not the bed. As someone was saying that what value does it add to this what you call to the report. So
we did find that we, because the departments that we put here are the departments that we engage with, and we're satisfied that we are let's what we call it, we approve their budgets based on the plans that they were having. Now, we didn't have that opportunity with communication. So it doesn't really add any value putting it here. We could have omitted. So is the proposal that communications be excluded, taken? Until supported? Okay. Yes, you're quite right. Okay, thank you. Other members, I thought that we would want to call. Can we just jump to findings for the next few minutes that we're having? Honourable staff?
That we want to hear. That we want to start it.
Sorry?
That we want to start it, the findings and recommendations.
Okay.
Being diplomatic with your guidance is not a bit worried as well.
Honourable members, we got all what you call other emirates, that we got all the other responses we expected. No? Is there any other department that is outstanding? Okay. There's road development, and then we'll ask and public service. Ma'am, and the other was team, gosh. Dave, in the way, it's a pleasure. Ask okay, and this? Sorry? Okay. can I suggest that we go and read the visa article on the another staff?
I've read it yesterday.
You read it yesterday?
Yeah. That's what we should be doing when we read it.
Have you got then some contribution?
Yeah, I have, but I mean, you know, we're not going to deal with it now.
Now, what I wanted to...
I don't know whether the rest of the... You know, I can give it to the researchers, but I don't know whether the rest of the commission may agree with that.
But tomorrow we'll do it together. We're finalizing the report together. But that will be useful then if you you hand over your proposal and the other members. Not just, I'm just talking about all of us. So tomorrow we don't spend a lot of time on this. There's a big debate today, vote 2 of Parliament.
Hey, can I just ask,
on the
recommendations, we, basically all the departments we say, it's all funded basis positions in the 2014 financial year. However, we say we can cater to the departments, it's not possible. You cannot say they must fill it by, because you've got the resignations and you've got... You can't put all funded funds. It's not possible.
Another sir, can I suggest that we take this back with us, and then tomorrow morning we'll come?
I will give you the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Honourable members, is it possible that we could meet tomorrow at 9? I'm requesting that we meet tomorrow at 9.
The meeting is adjourned.
And the child is not about sugar.
All you can see is that there's some students who they are not explicit. Oh, you may come that.
I'm not getting your problem. And they also have their way of grounding of
In my meeting, there was a right way to appear here, to appear here. So don't get yourself.